Not to begin in the sugya. So the sugya is a little bit less of a gittin sugya, a little bit more of a kosei in general sugya. Actually, not really even a kosei sugya, actually a little bit more of a mochik sugya. Kosei and mochik, of course, are two malachas and Shabbos, riding and racing, that go hand in hand. And we'll try to see a little bit as to just what the significance of that going hand in hand is. What are the parameters in that relationship between the malach of kosei and the malach of mochik? But the sugya actually begins in the context of Maseches Gittin, because the Mishnah, the Gemara, was talking about a principle called Ksav Agav Ksav. If something is written already, and then I literally rewrite on top of the pre-existing letters, so that is not considered to be an act of kosev. It's not an act of kosev, neither to be chayav and Shabbos, nor an act of kosev for the purpose of kitten. We're going to talk hopefully a little bit later on. First, the Gemara discusses the practical application of this kitten. Let's say, for example, that a get by mistake was written Shalom Lishma. It wasn't written with the proper intent for the man, the woman, etc. And now it's a little low on paper, so we don't want to rip it up and start over again. We just simply want to take a little more ink and go right over the letters again. And where it says, Yechem B'Shabbos, this time we'll remember. L'shem Gershem Yechem B'Shabbos. Exactly what is that? No good. So it was a whole discussion about Ksav Agav Ksav. So that's already coming down the line a little bit. But before we get to that, the Gemara first starts talking about vis-a-vis Hilchos Shabbos. And the starting point is that Ksav Agav Ksav is really nothing. It's really not going to be chayav at all. The only thing is that what if a person switches inks? And we learned in the last sugya that red ink and blue ink and green ink and black ink, of course, all those colored inks are considered to be an act of Ksav, both for Hilchos Shabbos and for Hilchos Gittin. The Gemara raises the question, what if I write, yes, a Ksav Agav Ksav, but the second Ksav is different. It's not identical to the first Ksav. It used to be in red ink, now it's in black ink, or vice versa. How does that change in the colors of ink? Does that at all have any impact on our sugya? That's really where our sugya begins, on the first of the Mamre Kamos, Itmar. Hamavri Dio Agav Sikra B'Shabbos. If a person takes Dio, and Dio is always refers to black ink, the person takes black ink and puts the black ink on top of Sikra, Sikra is red ink. So I wrote the same exact words with a different color ink. And the point of this part of the sugya is that the ink that I use is actually the preferable ink. That's the higher quality ink. We spoke a little bit about this earlier this week, about according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar Mitz, actually the Av Malacha, the Ika Malacha's Kosev is actually really only a black ink. If you write in blue, green, red, you're also chayiv, but we're kind of at the secondary level of chayiv. So black is definitely considered to be the higher quality. Positive, it's if the Torah told us it has to specifically be black. It would not be kosher in any other color. So a person went ahead and wrote black on top of red. So Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokesh Abba Tavayu chayiv shtayim. So Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokesh both agreed that one is actually chayiv twice. One did actually two malachas, two distinct malachas on Shabbos. Achas b'shem kosev, v'achas b'shem ochek. He is chayav, number one, for kosev, even though it's a ksav agav ksav. So here the Gemara is telling us this chiddush, that when do we say ksav agav ksav is not called an act of kosev? That's when I didn't gain anything. I didn't accomplish anything. I'm not benefiting from the second ksav. The second ksav is k'mal leis, doesn't exist. But when the second ksav is upping the ante, it's adding quality to the first ksav. I'm going from red. It used to be red. It's not shvach ksav. You can be able to read it's red. It's going to fit. Ah, that was the real McCoy. So adding black to the red would be chayav. The next time you have to fill out a form. I don't know if anyone actually fills out forms anymore with pen and paper, but if there's some chance you fill out a form with pen and paper, so sometimes it'll say use black ink only. Even the passport forms with that. Black is a high quality. So by mistake, you fill that with red and you write on top of the black. That's a good thing. That's added something and you're going to be chayav. But in addition to being chayav for kosev, yachas mishumochek. Believe it or not, you're also chayav for moche. What did I erase? But yes, you did. You actually were mevatel the red ink, because when you put the second ink on top of the first ink, so you erased, quote unquote, the red. The red used to be legible as red letters. Now you can't see it anymore because it's covered over by black. So what's the difference whether you take an eraser and an erase ink? Or you do some other kind of a process that basically makes that first set of letters, the first ink, illegible. So that's also called mochek. So the person is chayav twice, once for kosev and one for mochek. So then the Gemara continues with the other scenarios. What about dio agabi dio? What if he writes black ink on top of black ink, or sikro agabi sikro, or red ink on top of red ink? Potter. So in both those cases, he's potter. Obviously, he didn't get anything, he didn't get anywhere. He just literally repeated the exact same thing that was there. That's not a chiyuv d'oraisa. I didn't say it's multiple chachila. Pot malasa. But now is the sugya really begins to take off. Sikra gabidiyam. What if I used to have black ink, and now I'm putting red ink on top of the black ink? So I'm going down in quality of ink. So there's no way that I could be chayv ishum kosev. Kosev has to conjure up that image that either I had nothing on the paper and now I have letters, or I had very, very weak letters and now I have strong letters. So that's a potential issue of kosev. Here we're going down in quality of ink. There's no way I'm going to be chayv ishum kosev. But believe it or not, maybe I could be chayv ishum mochek. Because by putting the red on top of the black, I basically removed the black off the scene. The black letters are no longer legible, no longer readable. And therefore, what I did was the halacha equivalent to taking an eraser and erasing the black letters. That's exactly what the Gemara erases. This is the point of the sugya. Sikra gabidiyo. I wrote red on top of black. Amila chayev, amila fatah. So there was some Amoraim who said, I'm chayev for that act. That's a blacha deraisa. And there are others who said, no, I'm not chayev. Those opinions that I'm a roi who said that I'm chayev, obviously not for kosher because they went down in quality. But mochik, I used to have black ink. I no longer have black ink. Everything's now red. So I, in effect, was mochik the black ink. That's an issue that I said I'm chayev for mochik. I'm a potter. And the other opinion that says that I'm potter, two words, makalkilu. What I did was very negative. What I did was very destructive in nature. There's a rule of the Chashavis. In order to be chayav, you have to do something that's productive, something that's creative, something that's positive. If I just simply act in a destructive manner, so that's what's called makalpia. And the Mishnah says, call a makalpia p'tura. That's the p'tura in the Chashavis. So now we have a very, very fine line here as to why exactly, really, if I'm chayav and why I'm chayav. So clearly, I'm not going to be chayav ishum kosev. That's not even on the radar screen. It's not an act of kosev. But maybe we can make me. Maybe we can make me chayav mishum mochek. So why should it be called mochek? Why should it not be called mochek? So the Gemara is very, very unclear. So one opinion of the Gemara is it's makalkel. But the problem is, what is the other opinion hold? What's shot in the other opinion? What isn't it, Makalka? What is productive about what I'm doing? So let's take a look at Tosis. Tosis is the second of the Maimon Kamos. Tosis says, Mocheku. Why does one opinion say that is considered to be Mochek? The Choshev Le Mochek Amanas Lichtov. Tosis says, not only is it mochek, not only is it enough to say, well, I removed the black ink. The Mishnah tells us, Masechta Shabbos, mochek is only chayav if it's al menas lichtov. If I erase something for the purpose of rewriting something else. I made a mistake in my letters on the, I come take out the Sivatar and I realize Gevalt was a mistake. So I quickly take out my razor blade and start erasing for the express purpose of rewriting. That's the name of the malacha. Mochek al menas lichtov. So Tosu says, if you're going to tell me that you're chayiv here for mochek, so you have to explain how it's amanas lichtov. Could somebody please explain to me, says Tosu, where's the amanas lichtov room here? I had a black letter. There was nothing wrong with that letter. Everything was great. I go ahead and I now put red on that letter. So we slap and say, oh, you're chayiv ishur mochek. So Tosu's question, what is it? That's mochek, all right, but where's the amanas lichtov? Who's going to, what are you going to write the next time around? What exactly are you setting yourself up for? What is the mochek amanas lichtov? Where is the amanas lichtov? So Tosus adds a piece of information. It doesn't say in the Gemara. The mishtama omeid lachzor v'lichtov alav b'dyo. Says Tosus that what's probably going to happen is as follows. You're going to eventually touch it up with a third letter, with a third coating of ink. You're not going to leave it as red. What fool would leave it as red? You used to have a beautiful black letters that were beautiful, clear, legible, that were good at all the passport forms. And now you got yourself red, you can barely read. So who's going to leave it like that? So the answer is, of course, you're going to touch it up afterwards and write a third level of ink. So Toast is scratching the head and saying, wait a second, what did you do exactly? You had a beautiful black ink, and at the end, you're going to have a beautiful black ink, and for some ridiculous reason, you put red ink, and we say, Echayah. What did you do? You did nothing positive. It continues. Says those of you know anything about writing with inks and inkwells and feathers, which we know, I assume nobody knows so much about. So we'll say whatever Taisa says. So Taisa says, no. The multiple layers of ink is actually going to look better. It's going to look stronger. It's going to look clearer. So it says tells us if you just have one layer of a black ink, it's good, but not great. But if you have multiple layers of ink, you have black, and then you have red, and then you have black, so that's going to make the letters even sharper, even clearer, even better, higher quality writing, and therefore you're going to be chayav. Now again, I can't go into the intricacies. I don't know enough about writing in the 1100s to be able to comment on this, but you see that Tosfos pained one phrase. One phrase is Amanas Lichtov. Mishnah says in Masechet Shabbos that you're only chayav on Mochek Shabbos if it's Amanas Lichtov. Therefore, Tosfos says there's no way a person can be chayav for red on top of black unless there's going to be another level of writing that's taking place. And if there's not going to be another writing, no one's going to put more ink to this page at some point in history. And you're erasing, namely, you're putting the red ink, is enhancing that further writing, you will not be chayav. So Tosfos is working on and trying to figure out, we're talking with all the scribes and trying to figure out what's going on. And Tosfos came up with this theory that black, red, black will actually make things look better. Over the last couple of weeks and months, so as I watched the color of the new shuls change on the outside, you know, different layers of paints and other things, everything. So I keep on thinking about the Tosfos. My red is real. It started out as yellow, then it was brown, then it's back yellow, then it's brown. Right? I mean, something along those lines. You want to recap?
So, today he's not chayav because it's red. Next week when he gets black,
he's chayav. No, he's chayav today because he was mochek black. With the full intent of adding eventually. That if he wasn't, Tosfos, you're right. That if he was just stop playing around with this color set and he just put some red on top of black without this grandiose plan of eventually touching it up with black, you're 100% right. That's called Mochik Shalom, and I said, Tosfos is going to be part of it. So Tosfos is searching again. I don't feel qualified enough to do the Tosfos justice. I don't know enough about this kind of writing, but Tosfos is clearly bothered with the halachic dilemma. Halachic dilemma is to look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah Shabbos says, Mochek al menas lichtov. So Tosfos says, where's the al menas lichtov when you read it top of black? So Tosfos says, it's got to be there. If it's not there, there's nothing to discuss.
It seems to be missing from halacha. Except Tosfos' explanation that this is an enhancement for the next level. Without the next level, even if he had Machshava, he didn't do Gemara.
Every Mochik is that. But that is the Malacha Mochik. Mochik is Amanasa Toshneosius. Let's say a person has a Sefer Torah, and the Sefer made a small mistake. Instead of writing Gracious, Beis Rei, she wrote Aleph Lamed. So the guy realizes, Gevalda, that's a really bad mistake. We got to get rid of those two letters. So the Sefer goes Shabbos afternoon, takes out his razor blade, and he starts erasing. He says, you know what? I don't have time to fix this right now. Let me just erase it quickly, and after Abdul tonight, I'll write the next two letters. Of course, it's chayav. He didn't do writing. You're right. It's not chayav for writing, but it's chayav mochek. That is mochek. Mochek is you did a constructive act. Almanas lefabezosias. That's exactly what Tosfos said. You took red. You put red on top of black. By doing so, you mevatel the black. So mevatel and os is a nice way of saying mochek. And you did it with the intent of being chayav, eventually adding on more black. That tells us presentation.
So, Yaakov wants it to be red because he wants to beautify it, then he would be chayav posing?
No, because that's called tzav gabik tzav, which is nothing, because then objectively, not chayav shum kosev. That doesn't matter. No, that's not called kosev. Kosev is that you have to either write on blank piece of paper, or maybe if you go from red to black, maybe, and even that thing was in that battle from in the next week coming up. And so, just if you used to have letters and now you still have letters, and it's just a different color of letters. If the second color of letters is a higher quality, then maybe it's
higher quality. I want it to be more beautiful.
Parshup Shad is that there's a certain objective quality here.
So Machshava is the chiyuv to Machshava. It's not Maisa because if he does the same Maisa without Machshava.
No, it's always like that. That's right. Let's say a guy can stop, erases two letters for no reason. He's not planning to rewrite it. It's not bottom.
What about the black on the red? Why you have from? Is it the actual writing of the black that makes it mochek al nasachto?
Yes, that's a tricky thing. Right. I mean, mochek the red as I'm writing the black. That's mochek al nasachto. Right. So I'm much more concerned. I'm less worried about the, you know, the three coats of ink, that I'm much, much more concerned about what prompted Tosfos to go down this route. Why did Tosfos put themselves into this corner? I can't blame them. They saw Mishnah, which says, Mochik Abanasa. So there's a major question in the Rishonim, later in the Poskim, as to what exactly that phrase, Mochik Abanasech, really truly means. So it's true, the Mishnah says, Mochik Abanasech. I'll tell you a secret. It's not the only time the Mishnah uses such a phrase. The Mishnah uses a parallel phrase in Shabbos, Tafa, and Gimel, Kareya Amanas Litzvar. One of the malachas in Shabbos is if you rip something. Why are you ripping it? Because you're a tailor and you're trying to fix it up. So you're ripping the stitches here and you're trying to restitch it afterwards. So the Mishnah says, Kareya Amanas Litzvar. And in the same breath, the Mishnah says, what if you demolish a building? It's called the Soser Amanas Livnos. So in all three of these malachas, if you think about it, the malachas themselves are destructive, objectively in nature. You see a guy, you don't know anything about anything. You see a beautiful, beautiful letters written on a cloth, and you see a guy going after it with a razor blade, you would stop him. Little do you know that the letters are the wrong letters, and he's trying to fix it up to make it look nice, trying to make it kosher again. When you see a guy coming, guy comes in front of your house with the militia team and starts destroying your house, that's crazy. You stop and call the police. But then you realize, wait a second, I'm going to build a much, much nicer house. I got to get rid of this house. That's called the Sosa of an living house. You see a guy ripping you see a tailor going there with the scissors and start chopping off the bottom of the pants. The guy's in a sugar cup. Then you realize, yeah, because he's about to sew it up. He's going to make a nice hammer. He's going to look beautiful. So these are acts that are potentially destructive in nature. Your kavana can transform them to being productive, to being positive acts. So there are a whole group of Rishonim who have the following theory. And whenever you have these kinds of malachas, what we call the amanas malachas, we'll call them the three Amanas Malachas that appear in the Mishnah. Maybe there are more, but these are the three that appear in the Mishnah. Kareya, Sosa, and Mochik. The role of Amanas is not an absolute. Amanas is not Chayk L'Yav, Allah, Barsini, only Chayav, Ibi, and Mechik Amanas, only Chayav, Ibi, credit. Amanas is a way of gauging. Is it positive? Is it destructive? Call a cop of Turin. If you do something destructive in the Shabbos, you're going to be potter. How do you know whether something is destructive? Who tells you that mochik is destructive or not? Your intent to rewrite is what gives it a positive quality to it. If that's all that Amanas Lichtov is not Yehud Vayav. It doesn't have to be literally Amanas Lichtov. What would you say about the following shalom? We're going to have the following shalom. What if I have a piece of paper and there's something about this piece of paper that I don't want to be there? Let's say, for example, I lent you $1,000. You pay me back the debt. I give you back the document. You don't want the document floating around. It's the last thing you want to have is a document around. You don't want to rip it up anymore. No, paper's expensive. So you go and Shabbos afternoon, you take out an eraser, and you start erasing the thing that says, I owe the guy, I owe him $1,000. So here's the people regarding, is that a positive activity? It's very positive because everyone would do such a thing. I don't want them to be incriminating documents. If they don't get $1,000, I'll lose it. Then I got fined. They'll take me back to days and I have to pay again. So that's a pretty positive thing that I'm planning on doing. Is it necessarily Amanas Lichtov? Maybe not. Maybe I'm not planning on rewriting. I want to use this paper as a paper airplane. I don't know what I want to use the paper for. I don't want these words on this paper anymore. So there's a very positive accomplishment that's about to take place. But is it Amanas Lichtov? Amanas Lichtov. Well, let's borrow it to another book, like Korea. I'm ripping something. I'm not planning on re-sewing that item. I'm never going to re-sew it. On the other hand, did I accomplish something positive by ripping? It's very possible. It is possible that a very positive outcome of tikkun the card through my ripping. Was it a maslechtov? No. But the question that the Rishonim and the Chachamim are raising is, how do you understand these words in the Mishnah? Korea, amanas lidfor, sosu amanas lidnos, mochi amanas lichtov. Yeshlach, what's the nature of that requirement of Amanas? Is Amanas an absolute requirement? It's part of the very definition of the Malacha proper. This is the way the Malacha was practiced in the Mishnah. They were Mochek, Amanas Lichtov. They were Kareya, Amanas Lichtov. They were Soser, Amanas Lichtov. Amanas Lichtov. And therefore, if you don't mimic that Malacha perfectly, you're not going to be violating the Siddur Aisa. Amanas is part and parcel of the very definition of the Malacha. Or do I say no? Amanas is not part of the Malacha proper. Amanas is just a way of gauging. It's a barometer to use. He's doing something good, something not so good. Is this positive? Is this negative? Is this Masakit? Is this Makal? Amanas is a good way to answer that question. but it's not the only way to answer that question. If I have some other reason to believe that I'm doing something which is fairly normal to get, it's got to be within the realm of normal. So if I'm sugra, so then I'm doing something fairly normal and fairly positive, but it's not ay, amanas tachtov. One may be chayiv as well. And therefore, it's quite possible that if you don't go down Tosus's route of red on black and black on red and blood and red, and it's getting better, it's getting worse, getting better, you're the whole shibud differences. Maybe you can take the Gemara Kipshuto. The Gemara says that you started off with black and now you put it on red. The Gemara says that Yechayev Mishum Mochek, potentially Yechayev Mishum Mochek. Maybe you're not planning on rewriting with black ink. Maybe nobody does with Tosus. Maybe other Yishuv have never heard of this process of 13 different coats of colors of ink. The Gemara doesn't talk about the third level of ink. The Gemara says it was black, I put red on it. I'm chayef from mochek. Why am I chayef from mochek? Because I did something that's good. You can't call me a makalkel. I have a nice red writing on the paper. I didn't destroy, I didn't rip apart letters. I didn't take the word bracious and just erase bracious and I have a false sentence. I didn't do anything negative. I didn't necessarily go up the ante. I didn't necessarily improve tremendously. You can't call me a makalkel. You can't say that what I did was destructive in nature. I like red ink. I don't want red black ink. I want red ink. I want green ink or purple ink today. So you can't call me a makalkel. Can you call me a menas lichtov? No. But it could be that in order to be chay mishum mochek, you don't have to be a menas lichtov literally. It could be that as long as you pass the test and not be a makalkel, you're good to go. So other Rishonim assume that way. Rashi probably assumes that way. Rashi, when he explains Tash, Rashi gives you the simplest shot of the Gemara. Rashi doesn't say a word about him. I'm writing red on top of black, and black on top of red, and nachamol, nachakon, and nachalayer. But none of that appears in Rashi. None of that appears in the Rambam. None of that appears in most of the Rishonim. Bali Atosis said this Shnibul Torah because the Bali Atosis was so bothered. They took the words Amanas Lichtov so literally that if it's not going to be a literal Amanas Lichtov, you're not going to be chayav. And not everybody agrees to that. Everyone else can say, not true. He used to be black, now it's red. Mr. Moichek, you're not a makalkel. You're a Moichek, it's chayav, and shayav, and call it a day, and there's no more writing, no more layers, no more levels.
They're not following the model of the Mishkan.
This always becomes a tricky question. How much similar to Mishkan do you have to bear? I always throw this question out to the Bacham and Yeshiva. You know, we speak about the model of the Mishkan, or the models in Allah. How much do you have to model? How much does it have to be identical? I'll give you a marshal from yesterday. Yesterday in Yeshiva, we learned this a little bit later on, the second barak, about Tanai ben Gadol ben Ruben. So there's an Allah that it's a person who's Makadash and Isha, Almanas. I'm only marrying you, Almanas, that X, Y, and Z happens. So the Mishnah says that you have to mimic the Tanai as was done between Moshe Rabbeinu and Gadol ben Ruben. He gave them the east bank of the Yarden, Almanas, that they will cross over the Yarden and fight, etc. So the Gemara says, from here we derive, there's a bit of Parshas Atanoim, Mishpat Atanoim, that you can make a chalos, I can make a sale, I can make a change in status, a kedusha, gerushin, almanas, on the condition. The only thing is, the Mishnah says, the way you stipulate the condition has to mimic the Parshas Atanoim Ruben. So just as you open up the Pesukim Parshas Matos, you realize that what we call Tanai Kofel. Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, if you come, then you get. If you don't come, then you don't get. And he said, the hang cut of the law. He said, the positive before the negative. And he said, the condition before the action. So the Mishnah delineates all the parallels that have to be. It has to be exactly like tonight, they got a little bit. So I asked the Bachar, how exactly does it have to be? If you mimic it to the absurdity, the parish of Tanoim is only said if your name begins with a Gimel or a Resh. If your name is God or Reuven, then you can have it tonight. If your name is David or Moshe, you can't have it tonight. And you can only have Tanoim if you happen to be near the city of Petra on the east bank of the Jordan River. If not, if you're on the west bank, Eretz Yisrael, then no Tanoim. It's nonsense. Obviously, when the Torah gives us a model of something, certain parts of the model are important in Halacha, and certain parts of the model are trivial, are just historical realities. That's just the way it happened to play out 3,500 years ago, but that is not a din l'doros. So the same exact thing we have in Hilchos Shabbos. The model, the ultimate model of Mishkan, of Malach and Shabbos is Mishkan. How similar to Mishkan? You have an interesting kula. There's no Hilchos Shabbos unless you're in the desert. The Mishkan was built in the desert, only in the desert. If it's cold outside, you can do Malach and Shabbos. If your name is not Betzalel or Aliyah, then it's okay. Your name is Reuven Shimon, you can do Malach and Shabbos. Obviously, there's certain parts of the Mishkan model that are absurd. So how do you know which parts are critical, which are not? That's 157 blah of the Shabbos. Start figuring that out. And sometimes the machlokes him. Which nuances are very important and which are not? So that's exactly what this machlokes is in the Rishonim. We know that Mochik was practiced in the Mishkan. It says we have a tradition when they would number, they would letter the boards of the Mishkan. Sometimes they would make a mistake, they would erase that, or restart it. So in the Mishkan, Mochik was done al menas lichtov. That is true. That is a historical reality. The question is, therefore, what halachic conclusion do we draw? So Tosfos drew the conclusion, Mochik al menas lichtov. Ooh, al menas lichtov, that's pretty important. That's an integral part of the Melacha. And if that part of the melacha is missing, then it's not a melacha d'oraisa in Shabbos. And Tosfos is looking at red on top of black and saying, hey, wait a second, who's rewriting? So Tosfos says, you are, because you put it on a third layer. Tosfos gives you a shtickle Torah about the calligraphy in the 1100s. But other Mishnayim say, Almanas lichtov. It's true. We're not arguing historically. That's true. It's true and irrelevant. Almanas lichtov. That's about as important as saying if your name's not Petzali, you're not Chayav. So there are certain parts of Mishkan that are not supposed to be taken literally, and certain parts are. And here we have Machlekes Taisa that we shown him. Is that phrase, I'm going to ask, one of those critical parts or one of those tangential parts? Yeah, absolutely. We got a lot of work to do. Right? Be able to scratch the surface, right?
According to Rishonim, who would hold that the issue is whether the Malach is a kalka or not, and Abanas is not absolute, and when they read the Gemara, and another mandar who says the Pater of the Kalka, that mandar is holding it's my look and sees as to whether
the Oh, very good. Excellent. So Rashi on the spot adds a little liquidity to this. So Rashi said it's always a problem. One of the chesronos of these, you know, this set of the Mamakomas is that we usually lose the Rashi. I give the Gemara to the Tamidim, so they have the Gemara in front of them. So here, only if I put that Rashi in the Mamakomas. So this one does not allow them. So Rashi on the spot says that this Machlokes Amoraim, not a Metzias, Machlokes Amoraim, how to evaluate whether this meets the criteria of a Kalka or not. Because you think about it, if you go from black to red, objectively, would you call that a kilkel or not? So it's a kilkel depending on where you were before. I used to be black, which was great, and now I'm red. So one could argue, that's a kilkel, that you're not as good as you were. You started, I used to be this great, unbelievable, legible, secretary, and now you're in a red ink zone. So what you did was a little bit detrimental. On the other hand, you have a perfectly good piece of paper with a very legible ink in front of you. It's red, it's not black, it's not terrible. So per se, you didn't destroy a building for no reason. You didn't rip apart a garment for no reason. You didn't erase letters for no reason. At the end of the day, you have a good legible piece of paper here that was brought about through an act of mochet. So it's a very lumdisha question about how you gauge Makalko. Is Makalko looked at almost like on its own merits? Right now, Bashir Sham, what I did was pretty good. On the other hand, based on what I did before, it's not so good. It's like Lahavlo, you know, the kid comes home, gets 100 on the test. Wow, you know, you're thrilled, it's great. And then the next test, he gets a 95. So what's your approach? There are different parenting skills in terms of that, right? It's usually the machlokes is me and my wife. You know, what do you do with that 95? The last month was 100. So you can either say, "Wow, you got a 95 in the test. That's amazing. 95. That's A material. You're one step into the Ivy Leagues, or whatever you define Ivy Leagues." The other approach is to say that, "What happened? Last month was 100. You slashed off a little bit. You got a 95." Again, I'm not saying which is going to cause more trauma for the kid. And then we'll talk about an educational point of view. But at the end of the day, you could look at that 95 one of two ways. You can look at it, hey, the kid dropped a little bit. If you look at 95, it's objectively great. That's exactly what the MRI was finding out.
The difference between going up, making something less, and the chesiva is removed from the paper or picture. It's just the art of writing something. It's not about less or more. It's just writing itself, the act of writing. And this is removing that specific act.
So that's tricky. That's very, very fine line in terms of whether you call it macabre or not. But I want to focus on the moment. Let's say it's not macabre. Let's assume for now that what you did is productive. But Tosfos said it can be productive for the nature of tomorrow, but you're still not amanas lichtov unless Tosfos gives you a simple Torah about the multiple layers of ink. So Tosfos was almost like pain. They were forced. They were little in the corner trying to figure out there's got to be another ksiva here. Otherwise, it's not the model of the Mishkan. So Tosfos, you know, created this model for the multiple secrets. Other Mishnah would take a step back and say, Vishnah doesn't say anything to Gemara about the multiple layers of ink. You don't need another Ksiva. Mishkan. Yeah, this is tangential. This is Betzal Aliyah. This is desert. This is not an integral part of Mishkan. What has to be met? Why did Chazal use the phrase Avanas Lichtov? That was simply a way to measure Kilkel or lack thereof. point of one a day. Amrilas, Amarim said, this is not called a kilful, because at the end of the day, you have very, very nice letters. The day that says it is a kilful says, it's a kilful, copy what you had before, it's not a kilful, it's 100 to 95, it's black to red. And the other day it says, forget about what happened last semester. Right now, 95 is not a bad mark on the test. So red ink is not such a bad thing, so you didn't do anything this time. So, so nobody really holds it has to be black. Those who said, the Mishnah says red is good. There was some Rishonim who said that red is like a told a little bit. It's like a secondary level of get. But to say it's not a good get, it is a good get.
Those who hold that, they can be copied.
You mean that Chiddush Rav Elazar admits from earlier in the week that going to a told a, going from off to told a per se be a kilko, I'm not sure. It's going down, but it's hard to call it a kilko per se because red is still good. And so hopefully that's from next week. So bottom line is try not to write either black or red on Shabbos or hang it to one of those. There's three to Mishnah, one more problem.